Thank you very much, John. The American Board of Orthodontics, the Angle Society, the Tweed Foundation, and a number of international boards have established criteria for evaluating excellence of clinical results in orthodontics. It should be the goal of orthodontists to consistently attain these standards of excellence. This paper will examine 7 requirements that I believe are fundamental to obtaining clinical excellence. The 7 fundamentals are, 1, make sure that the upper second bicuspids are, quote, socked in. 2, respect anchorage. 3, maintain lower incisors over basal bone. 4, parallel roots in the extraction sites. 5, make the time to detail and refine the case. 6, complete the case on time. And 7, unconditionally commit to excellence. In 1972, Larry Andrews published a landmark article in the American Journal of Orthodontics titled, The 6 Keys to Normal Occlusion. For controls, he studied 120 untreated normal occlusion models. Subsequently, he studied 1,150 treated cases selected from the ABO examinations between 1965 to 1971. Based on his findings, Andrews concluded that the 6 keys to normal occlusion are 1. Class 1 molar relationship, 2. Crown angulation, 3. Crown inclination, 4. No rotations, 5. Tight contacts, and 6. A level curve of spi. In 1994, the ABO began the development of an objective grading system to evaluate final dental casts and panoramic x-rays. Over the next 5 years, they field tested the system, and it evolved into an official grading system in 1999. The ABO objective grading system contains 8 criteria. These are alignment, marginal ridges, buccal lingual inclination, occlusal relationships, occlusal contacts, overjet, interproximal contacts, and root angulation. The rationale for using these criteria can be obtained by accessing their website at www.americanboardortho.com. Incorporating Larry Andrews' findings on normal occlusion, the ABO grading criteria, and input from members of the Peninsula Orthodontic Research Group, that's the study club which I belong to, I respectfully suggest the 7 fundamentals of clinical practice required to achieve excellence in orthodontics. Actions required to attain these 7 fundamentals will also be presented. Fundamental 1, make sure that the upper second bicuspids are, quote, socked in. Not only is this an ABO criteria under the heading of occlusal contacts, but the late Dr. Robert Ricketts stated that it represents the cornerstone to superb occlusion. To achieve interdigitation and occlusal contacts of the upper second bicuspids, it is essential to develop and maintain adequate space for the upper second bicuspids. This requires a super class 1 molar relationship. Any mesial drift or rotation of the upper first molars will create a space discrepancy for the second bicuspids. Action required. Bend in first order bends to assure that the upper first molars are adequately rotated. In spite of the manufacturing of offset brackets, the offsets are inadequate. A good rule for checking the proper distal rotation of the upper first molar in evaluating mesial drift is a line drawn through the tip of the distal buccal and the mesial lingual cusps of the upper first molars should intersect the distal third of the cuspid tooth of the opposite side. Fundamental 2, respect anchorage. Anchorage is resistance to an applied force. Keep in mind that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We have not yet invented elastics, power chains, closing loops, or coil springs that pull in only one direction. Actions required to preserve anchorage? Use of headgears. I believe that headgears are still the gold standard in orthodontics. Bend in tieback loops with first order bends to prevent posterior teeth from drifting or rotating forward during space closures. bend and stop loops with first order bends to maintain arch length in non-extraction cases. Fabricate palatal arches and lingual arches to augment anchorage. Utilize cortical bone and implants in extreme anchorage requirement situations. Fundamental number three, maintain lower incisors over basal bone. If you can maintain lower incisors perpendicular over basal bone during treatment, that to me is an angel at work. It's the devil at work when the lower incisors are thrown into a tenuous forward position during treatment. Action required? Minimize, nay, eliminate the use of intraoral class II elastics, which tend to advance the lower incisors. To quote from Walter Urban, I do not use class II elastics in my office because I could not find the kind that most men seem to use, the ones that pull in only one direction, unquote. Additional actions. Utilize a straight pull J-hook headgear to retract cuspids. Use of utility arches to intrude the upper and lower incisors and to level the cervus B. Use -3 degrees labial root torque to keep the apex of the lower incisor in the medullary bone. Fundamental number four, maintain roots parallel in extraction sites. Action required. Close extraction sites slowly. Activate closing loops no more than a thin dime. Take your time. This is one step that you do not want to rush. Teeth need to move with the help of biology, i.e., wait for osteoclasts and osteoblasts to do their job. Dr. Doug Buck concluded from his research that, quote, when something isn't working, don't increase the force, increase the time, unquote. It has been my experience with orthodontic residents that they tend to activate the closing loops way too much. This results in a collapse of the arch and takes extra time to relevel. Additional action, use angulated brackets, bend in delta loops, box loops, or V-bends to help upright teeth. Fundamental number five, make the time to refine and detail the case. Check for alignment, correct overbite and overjet. Check interincisal angle, torque, interdigitation, and cuspid function. Action, develop progressive quarterly checklists during treatment. Make sure bracket heights are even to correct for marginal height discrepancies and rotations. Rebracket as necessary. Assure that the curve of SPI is level. Individually torque and align teeth, especially the upper laterals. Check head films and other radiographs as necessary. A very important action step is to coordinate arches at each appointment to assure alignment and interdigitation. After checking static relationships in centric relation, check functional relationships. Check freedom and centric, the immediate side shift, incisal guidance, and cuspid lift. Clinical experience has demonstrated to me that when anchorage is preserved, teeth interdigitate without too much effort. On the other hand, if posterior teeth have migrated mesially, it is difficult to detail and finish the case. Additional action. Read reference article by Rebecca Poling in AJODO, A Method of Finishing the Occlusion, May 1999. Fundamental number six, complete the cases on time. It's called quality on-time treatment. Action required. At the outset of treatment, after a treatment plan is established, construct a critical path diagram, i.e. a flowchart. The objective is to engage the most difficult problem first. Prioritize the problem that will take the most time to correct. To assist in this process, construct what is known as a program evaluation review technique chart, i.e. a PERT chart. Set a reasonable, individualized target date based upon the complexity of the case. Write the target date down. Writing it down is powerful. Review the TD date at each appointment to ascertain if treatment is going along on schedule. Utilize the following triad to assist in the continuous motivation of your patients. Number one, set short-term, easily attainable goals. Number two, monitor patients' efforts. And number three, give patients positive reinforcement. Utilize a systems approach to set short-term goals. The key of the systems approach is the acronym MCI. M stands for the molars, C stands for the cuspids, and I stands for the incisors. The idea is to break down the problem, for instance, a class 2 malocclusion, into correcting the molar relationship first. It is done in small increments, short-term, easily attainable, measurable, monthly goals. In that way, it is a simple and accurate way to monitor the patient's efforts and to be able to give positive reinforcement. Once class 1 molars have been attained, all kinds of good things start to happen. Similarly, the cuspids and incisors are retracted to class 1 in small, measurable monthly increments. Fundamental number 7, unconditionally commit to excellence. Set this statement down on letters to patients that, quote, our office is unconditionally committed to excellence, unquote. Reinforce the statement to your staff members. Let them know what your practice and philosophy is all about. A professional career starts with 3 Ds, diploma, DDS, doctor. There are 5 more Ds that should be a part of your philosophy of practice. Dedication, determination, discipline, devotion, and diplomacy. If you ignore the fundamentals, you and your patients will suffer the consequence, and the consequence is mediocrity. Dean Arthur Degoni, past president of the ABO, stated, and I quote, the difference between mediocrity and excellence is the difference between common knowledge and consistent application. Excellence is a matter of luck. Ask any failure, unquote. Dr. Koji Hanada, president of the Japan Orthodontic Association, emphasized at their recent meeting that the meeting was dedicated toward the high-quality orthodontic treatment desired by patients. Let us look forward to searching for ways that excellent orthodontic treatment can be provided to as many as needed. I firmly believe that if you establish standards of excellence, that it will add to the enjoyment of your practice. Thanks again, John, for the opportunity to address my colleagues. I also wish to make a plea for them to support the American Association of Orthodontists Foundation. Action required. Contribute. Give something back to your profession. Thank you.